Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Woo! Hallelujah. Man, God is good, ain't he? Has God been good to anybody in here this week? Woo! Hallelujah! Yeah, he's worthy of all praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Man, God is so good. Amen. He just gets, well, I say he gets gooder and gooder, right? So we think about this, and an old man told me that, that led me to Christ. He said, son, you'll see, God will just get gooder and gooder. And so I've always, ever since I've been saved, I've got that stuck in me, is that God has always been gooder and gooder to me. And so, you know, today is a special day. For the last several weeks, last several months, we've seen a tremendous move in the Holy Spirit in my church, amen? And it shouldn't be nothing new, and I don't know that it's anything new, but I know God is beginning to draw people unto him in these last days. I know that God is beginning to allow his anointing, his presence to be poured out on his people. And so when you see things like our bucket band and you see our youth group is growing leaps and bounds and you begin to see what's happening, God is drawing, amen? Yeah. God is doing something that's incredible and lives have been getting saved and people have been changed from the inside out forever. And we need to remember that's our purpose as a church. God put us here with a purpose, and we shared this yesterday as we had the grand opening of our kids' home. And the kids' home is, it's called the Lighthouse, and it's a place for a youth or a kid's outreach. It's only going to grow. And so yesterday, we was just intrigued by the people that came and how we was able to unite and share and grow in our faith as we watched others get excited about what God is doing at my church. And last week, we spent quite a bit of time talking about something particular, didn't we? We said, let me show you Jesus. Let me show you Jesus. So one of the testimonies I got from that shirt, when you start seeing our shirts now, it's going to say on the back of it, let me show you Jesus. We talked about words are cheap, amen? Words are cheap, and everybody's got plenty of words, but the truth is, let me show you Jesus. If you can't see Jesus in me and through my life, then there's something wrong with me. And so we begin to understand who this Jesus really is, amen? And he wants to change us from the inside out. And until he gets us to that place, people will not be able to see Jesus through you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I know that's good preaching, so don't shout me down yet. All right, so when we're being derogatory towards other people, when we are name-calling other people, when we are cutting people down instead of building them up, when we are doing these things as believers, they don't see Christ in us. So our job is to lift people up and not push them down, amen? So we share so often in the Word, and I think the Word is where we need to go to every single time to find the answers for where we're at today. Listen, COVID don't have the answers. Amen? COVID does not have the answers, even though tragedy is still striking, even though things are still happening, even though the devil thinks he's on the throne, he hasn't got anything. Amen? Now, that doesn't lessen the impact that we have people that are struggling today. What it says is this, that we have a God that is in control. So no matter what the world says, no matter what the enemy does, no matter how he comes against us, we have a God that from the beginning has been completely, always has been, and always will be in control. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Yes, he's worthy. So, you know, I just say all that to say this, is that we've seen a lot of tragedy and a lot of trajectory over the last several years where shrapnel's landed where it ought not to have landed inside of our camps, and we begin to see what God wants to do with that. But I'm telling you, God is saying it loud and clear today, you should have never touched my anointed. You should have never touched my chosen. You should have never formed that weapon against the church because I will not put up with it. And I'm going to tell you that he's about to raise up an army that's going to stand against the test of time, that will fight with him, that will lead with him and allow him to be in front, and we will take back everything that the enemy has stolen from us. Hallelujah. Listen, I know I'm preaching to a lot of you this morning that you've overcome addictions, amen? Praise God. You've overcome brokenness and selfishness, and the list goes on, but God's not done with us yet. You know, let me show you Jesus. Yeah, that's not some cheap words. We're putting them on shirts. We're going to put them on the bulletins. We're going to tell everybody that we run into, let me show you Jesus. So one of those testimonials yesterday, a brother, Lorenzo, said, I was in the store, and he said, I stretched my arms out real nice and big. He said, I walked through the billboard so they could see, let me show you Jesus. He said, immediately, people begin to say, what? Let me show you Jesus. See, all of a sudden they seen Jesus in him, and it gives us an opportunity to begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are lost. Amen? It's that simple. That's who we ought to be. So I thought about this teaching, and I thought about the baptism that we're having today. And the baptism service is enough in itself, amen? Well, today they said, well, we're not doing communion today. I said, no, we're not. I said, we're doing baptism service. And so I thought, well, what's the best way to start off with baptism? So I put some signs out, and they're everywhere around here. It says, water changes everything. Water changes everything. So I thought, well, what a great way to start this message today, because we're in a world where the world is trying to take over, and God is still in control, amen, of the world. He's in charge, and he's in control. So I begin to think back to Genesis chapter 1, as we often have these spars going on, these battles that we're going on with, you know, creationism and evolution and things like this. And even the church today can't even stay planted in what the truth is. Amen? So our job is to bring them up, is to train them up, is to equip them so they know the truth. And if we can get that one phrase down, let me show you Jesus, if we can really be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, if we can really say the word says it's truth, and the truth is it's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So no matter what your stinking opinion is, if you'll just go to the truth will set you free. Let me show you Jesus. Man, what a bold statement for you to make as a church. Let me show you Jesus. So we talk about this. We used to drive around, don't see too many of them no more because we've preached on them a lot. Those little fish on your bumper, right? The little fish you put on there says, I'm a Christ follower. And why are they giving you the burden? Yeah? You hear me? They cut me off. They're getting what I really feel, right? So, well, you know, out of the heart the mouth speaks. Amen. Out of the heart the mouth speaks. So if I can really get Jesus lodged inside of me, no matter what happens, I'm going to give him Jesus. Amen. I can tell you a story I'll share with you later that we've been getting a lot of remodeling and some work done at our house, and we found out somebody thought that we was some people that killed some people. And I began to say, what? And I began to say, well, after all that clearing thing, I said, you know what? All that time, God has allowed me to show them, let me show you Jesus. They was doing some concrete work, and they was talking about smoking weed, and I said, well, let me show you Jesus. You know, they're doing things at my house on the place that I pray over, just like your place, and I begin to say, let me show you Jesus. So it doesn't matter what the world says or how it acts or what it does. What matters is what's instilled inside of you when you come to the loving knowledge of a Savior by the name of Jesus Christ. You're going to go in different, you're going to receive different, and you're going to walk out different when you allow Jesus Christ up inside of you. This is what the Word's about today. The Word, listen now. I'm going to give you the intro, but I want to be in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created, amen? In the beginning, I love to spar with people when they begin to come at me and say, well, if Jesus is so good, then I said, well, let me explain it to you. I got to take you back all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and tell you about the fall of man. So if you can understand the fall of what happened, then you can understand what the rest is. But don't go no farther than Genesis chapter 1, the first five words, in the beginning, God created. And if you don't believe that, then throw the rest of the Bible away. Throw it away. Don't argue with me about it because you're refusing to accept what the rest of that word says. In the beginning, God created. So we think about this. In the beginning, God created. It says we sometimes wonder how our world came to be. And we hear this so often, but we find the answer. God created the earth and everything in it, and he made humans like himself. He didn't make the animals like himself. He didn't make the plants like himself. He made us like himself. Although we may not understand the complexity, if you will, of just how he did it, it is very clear in God's word that he created life in all of life. This shows not only God's authority over humanity, but his deep love for all people. His deep love for all people. His deep love for all people. So you begin to think, what's this deep love for all people? The sinner. A wretch like me. He reached out and he saved me. The blood that ran down the tree, that was just for me. The most important aspect of the continuing discussion is not the process of creation, but it really is the origin of the creation. And it says, in the beginning, God created. The world is not a product, listen to this now, of blind chance or probability like they want you to believe, but God created it. And if God created, as he says in verse number 1, the Bible not only tells us that the world was created by God, but more importantly, it tells us who this God is. We have a God that is. Amen? He's a God that's with you in your denial. He's a God that's with you in your trial. He's a God that's with you no matter what is going on, or no matter what our stinking thinking and our analogical minds, and we begin to analyze the things and think, well, maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. God created it. God created it. The Bible not only tells us that the world was created by God, but more importantly, he tells us who this God is. It reveals God's personality, his character, and even his plan for minding your life, or for his creation, if you will. It also reveals God's deepest desire to relate to his fellowship with his people that he created. Oh, wow. Pastor, you telling me that I'm not a mistake? God, you tell me, God says that's for everybody, including me, whether I'm 5 years old or 50 years old or 500 years old. Yeah, it's for you. It is for us. God took the ultimate step towards fellowship with us. He took the ultimate step towards fellowship with me when I was an unbeliever. When I didn't believe, I questioned, I had doubts and concerns like all of us do. He took the ultimate step towards fellowship with me through his historic visit to this planet in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. We can now know in a very personal way how God, who created the universe, died for you and me. So this morning, as we jump into the Word, if you'll stand with me for the reading of the Word. In Genesis chapter 1. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 10 this morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness, everybody say darkness. The darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Everybody say water. Water changes everything. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the lights from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. Everybody say water. Water. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament and the waters which were above the firmament and so on. And God called the firmament the heaven, so that evening and the morning were second day, were the second day. Now listen to this. In verse number 9, Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Father, we would ask right now as we, Father, read your word, that you'll open up to us individually and collectively, God, that you will speak to us and let us know what you want us to get out of this word. Father, we thank you for your infallible word, which is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Father, we ask now, is anything that would distract us, anything that would confuse us, anything that would be in the way, that you remove it and cast it right into the pit of hell where it comes from. Father, we have authority over the enemy, and we speak it in the name of Jesus today. Father, we come with a high expectation of your will being done today. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we begin to unpack this a little bit, and this is going to take a couple minutes of your time because I want to get into the baptisms, but in this story, the world, it says the world is without. It's without some things. It's without form. It says it's without function, and it's without purpose. Now, I'm going to tie this together, so if you think of this, there's no form, function, or purpose in our lives at times. Amen? Let me unpack this. The world just is, but then the Lord comes along and he begins to move upon, it says, the face of the waters, and after that, the world has changed. After he moves upon that water, things begin to change. I'm going to tell you today, that's what I'm going to talk to you about in baptism today. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, all the confusion, all that darkness, all that stuff's going to be exposed, and God will begin to move in your life. You hear me? There's going to be a change today. God's going to show you the function that you have in the church. God's going to show you the purpose you have in the church. He's going to show you why he formed you in your mother's womb. He's going to show you why you have greatness before you in Christ. Through this first act, the Lord began to mold, and he began to change the earth. First, he separated the light from the darkness, and then he separates the heaven and the earth, and then he separates the sea and the dry land. So there's some separation. There's some division, if you will. There's some tearing away. There's some things that's changing. And the people's going to be baptized today, this is you. This is what God said. I see all your mess, but I love you anyway. I see all your darkness that you bring into the altar, but I am going to deliver you anyway. Hallelujah. Yes. Listen, in each of these instances, the Lord can be seen separating elements which already exist. They already exist, but he's all of a sudden beginning to separate these elements. He creates objects that are new, like plants and birds and fish and eventually even man. But most of these elements are created out of the raw materials he creates in the beginning, though. Listen to this. The earth, the sea, the sky, and the light from the canvas into which the Lord points and begins to paint the rest of the picture of our lives. So, wow, what's that mean? It's talking about, to me, so many of us. Everybody say me. This is us. So many of us sitting here today, we've been saved in just the last few months. Some of us have been what we call Christians a long time, but we've rededicated our life, and we say, you know what, I'm sick of that. Let me show you Jesus. We're coming to a place where we see God beginning to do something new. So many of us were like the world when we found the Lord. When we found the Lord, so many of us begin to change, but when we found the Lord, we was a mess. We just existed without any purpose at all. We just went through this mundane life every day, get up, go to work, go home, do dishes, go to bed. It's the same thing every day. We just existed without any real purpose. We lived our lives in a routine that was often dictated by somebody else. Somebody telling you have to come to work. Somebody telling you have to do laundry. Somebody telling you I need dinner. Somebody doing something like that. And if you've ever lived a mundane life where you have no purpose, no real, genuine purpose, you know what I'm talking about this morning. Amen? I was the guy that went to bed every night, and I had everything seemed to be going okay, but I would lay there, and I would stare at the ceiling, and I said, God, there got to be more than this. And God would tell me, there's a whole lot more than this. Even though it looked good, even though it seemed like I had everything that you could want, even though things would get messed up and it would seem like I could, in my selfness, begin to fix it back up, God would keep telling me, you're empty, you're broken, you're separated. This is not how you are created. This is not how you are created. You are made in the image of Jesus Christ. And he didn't make any mistakes. And what he begins to do is draw. He begins to draw all men and women unto him. You know what I'm talking about? So the people that got saved, they begin to think, oh, do you know how bad my sin is? Do you want to accept Christ? Oh, yeah, I want to accept Christ, but God could never accept my nastiness. Oh, God can never. God is bigger than our nastiness. God is bigger than our sin. And let me tell you, he's the Redeemer from the beginning to the end. Can you say amen? So we begin to get this. We understand that this routine, this life we went through our day without a clear purpose or even clear direction in our lives. We existed to serve this routine, and we had this void. We had this without form, just like the water in the earth. It was there, sure enough. But the truth was, I was sure enough there, but I was empty at the end of the day. Oh. The enemy says, oh, if I can just empty you of yourself. If you think you got it all figured out and you don't need who you was created in the image of, I can divide, I can conquer, I can separate. How's that happen? Oppression, depression, and recession. How's that happen? Suicidal, homicidal. I can keep naming. That's what the enemy uses and the tools he uses to mess with us. But when you begin to call in the name of Jesus. When I came to the altar 20-some years ago, when I came to the place where I was at the end of me, when I quit trying to figure it all out, I still have questions today, and so can you. The difference is I'm born again, I'm delivered, I'm sanctified, I'm set free in the name of Jesus. Whoa, man. Yeah, so then the Lord, it said he moved upon our life. You know what I'm talking about? They still talk about today. Man, I just look at them, I said, you can't be that ignorant, right? You talk about what I did 30 years ago. I'm not that dude no more. He died. He's in the grave. He's gone. Sorry. I just met some people that was telling me, man, I remember myself. I don't really want to hear that, man. That's not me, man. That guy's gone. Let me tell you about Jesus, because I'm going to show you Jesus. You begin to think about this. If not, we'll skinny right up to how no good you used to be and start talking about and inviting in all the stuff you used to be. You used to be this. Oh, well, let me remind you, the devil wants to whisper in your ear what you used to be. What you need to do is bind him up and cast him out in the name of Jesus. Let me show you Jesus. Yes. So you begin to think about this. The Lord moved upon on our life, and he began to separate the good, the bad, and the ugly out of our life. Can you say amen? He set aside our talents and our purpose for him. He purged our instincts and raised our higher moral purpose for what he wants, when he wants it, and how he wants it. These elements serve as the starting canvas onto which the Lord paints the picture of my life and your life. Wow. Think about this. I got this on the board for you here. And if I've done marriage counseling for you, you've heard this. So you begin to look at this. There's a concept in science called entropy. All right, look at this. Entropy is a disorder. It's a chaos. It's disorder and chaos. You would think, well, Pastor, why do you talk about disorder and chaos in marriage? Right? Because marriage is full of disorder and chaos. Amen? Woo! Maybe you ain't married my wife. I got the stand. She's went. But the truth is this: we're different, and God brings us together as one. And even in marriage, we got to begin to appreciate the other one. Amen. So if you got half of something attached to you that you ain't used to, it causes disorder and chaos until you figure out how to mesh with God. Do you hear me? Now some of you are saying that's what the problem's been. I knew he was not meshing right. All right. But we think about this disorder and this chaos. One of the truths in science is that entropy always increases. It's a truth. You know what that means? If you have disorder, if you have chaos, does it not always give birth to more? Yeah. Amen? Let me tell you how. I know. Okay, if you had kids, I got them from 37 to 7. So let me tell you, our 7-year-old, if we allow him to act in chaos, or allow him to act in disorder, he will be completely out of order, amen? You hear me? It just keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving. But now, we got him programmed. So when someone is mean to him or somebody's disrespectful, we say, well, how do you want to be treated? Not like that. We had this conversation again yesterday. He said, Papa, that word disrespect. I said, that's a big word, isn't it? Disrespect. So what's that mean? A lack of respect for you. That doesn't come from a person. Respect comes from the Lord. So you act like the Lord, you get treated like the Lord. Amen? So you think about this. You begin to allow it, this whatever this chaos is, and all of a sudden you begin to see it through your kids and your grandkids and the next generation, the next co-worker, the next whatever it is. And you're living a life of entropy. You're beginning to allow disorder and chaos into your house. And you begin to say, why is my kid acting like that? Oh, they're acting like me. Amen? Because I got disorder, and I allow disorder, and I'm the head of the house. And I'm telling you, I heard a guy share this week. I should have wrote it down if I'm going to talk about it, but I didn't. And the guy sent it to me. I got a Bible thumper, amen? An old, great, big, fat Bible, and he's up there shaking it at every man. And he said, you men are a bunch of sissies. I was like, whoo, he's got to be an evangelist. Because he ain't going to stay around after that one. But he's talking about the purpose of a man in a home. He said, it's not my job from the pulpit to teach you about God. Men, it's your job to teach the household about God. It's you to bring up your kids in admiration unto the Lord. He just laid it out there. I said, well, that's some good preaching, but man, that gets you fired. Amen. But it was all truth. So today, we want to suppress those things. We want to say the word really didn't say that, did it? Yeah, we're called to be the head and not the tail, amen? And listen to me, let me keep going. I'm going to get stuck on that. Whenever anything occurs in this universe, the overall disorder of the universe, it begins to increase, and we know this. Our world is in constant conflict today. The world started out as a highly organized state, but has been continuously, if you will, becoming more disorganized over time. And that's exactly what happens with entropy. It's the same thing in our lives. Our lives aren't immune to this effect of this disorder and chaos in this world. The Lord separates the land from the water. And in our lives, same thing. When we were saved, God began to separate some things in our lives. And I don't know if you've experienced that, but I'm not the same dude I used to be 25 years ago. I'm a different guy. But it comes down to this. I was blind, but now I see. But over time, the water and the land, they tend to recombine, don't they? Think about that. You got water, he separated, and you got land. And you mix them together, and what do you have? Mud. Right? So we're in a world today where everybody's smarter than God. We're in a world today because we got the internet and we got so smart people they won't even accept Christ. Well, that was me. Guilty. But then when he moved, when he separated, when I lost, when I thought I wouldn't lose, when I was divided, when they wasn't nothing going to divide me, when I got to a place where he began to say, okay, I'm going to have to divide and separate, I'm going to get your attention. Did he ever get your attention in here? Anybody, just mine? Oh, man, I've been to the lowest of the lowest. I've been to the lowest of the lowest. I share so often that, man, I'm blessed right now. But I remember when my kids didn't have anything. I remember when I had to go out and work two jobs just so my kids would have diapers in the evening. I remember when I had to come home and watch my kids eat and I couldn't eat because I knew they was hungry and I wanted to make sure they eat. I began to call on the name of the Lord. I began to call on somebody that I didn't even believe in. I began to say, God, why have you forsaken me? And he said, why have you never accepted me? Woo! Well, I'll just go ahead and give you a try, Lord. And he said, I'll show you that I'll work it out. So for the last 20-some years, not only he blessed my life, he's removed that generational curse off of me. He's removed that curse off of my children. And I pray he keeps it off of my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. I pray that they come to the loving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray that they serve him with everything inside of them. And don't you know today, if we back down, they'll be persecuted and they'll be killed for the sake of the Lord. That's the world we're in. Over time, that water and that mud begins to go back together, and we must constantly work to keep the carnal and the spiritual parts of our life separate and under complete control and submission unto the Lord. Oh, why is he saying all this morning? Because this is what baptism is. This is what baptism really is. So I thought about how can I put all this in here and still get you home by 5 o'clock tonight? I'm going to take my time. You all know that. But baptism for us, when we look at baptism, you've seen this before. Baptism, when you look at this, comes from the Greek word baptismos, which means to dip or to immerse. So a lot of the stuff that you see in different forms of religions today is just not what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be in and underwater. Not sprinkled with it. Not no Hail Marys and Our Fathers, because there's only one Father, and his name is God, our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Listen to this. We begin to look at what the truth says. Christian, now everybody, we call it, everybody's getting baptized today, has professed their faith in Christ. That makes you a Christian. Let me show you Jesus. We begin to look at this Christian baptism that it requires that a person be fully immersed. The formula of the baptism may not have been truly represented, in my opinion, until Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. In his resurrection, then we can see the fulfillment or the full meaning and the symbolism of what it is to be baptized. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but I'm talking about Romans chapter 6, verse number 8. It says, if we died with Christ, we really believe that we shall also live with him. So you can put me down, and when you bring me up, you're going to see Christ. I've shared my own baptism that I was baptized as a young man, as a little boy around 5 or 6 years old and didn't have a clue what it was. That's the reason I don't like kids to get baptized. Unless they can profess their faith to me. And they can tell me what it means to be baptized. So I'm not saying we won't do them. But that's got to be some pretty rock solid kids. And I just happen to have one of them that lives with me. I have one to tell you, I'll pray. I'll read with you. You read to me. You teach me and train me. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. But to be dead in Christ is to live forever. Amen? Well, let me share this with you, and I'm going to talk about the remittance of sin, but I was thinking about John chapter 9, and I didn't put this in there. I just wrote this down before I come down. John chapter 9, verse 25. And I quote this all the time, but I think it's important for us not just to escape past it. What in the world is John chapter 9? What's being penned here for you and I? And it's talking about being blind. And I want to tell you that everybody's being baptized today. Many of you has just baptized, and any of us ever been baptized, we was blind. We was blind until we accepted Jesus Christ. And it says this in John chapter 9, verse 25, whether a sinner or not. Now, Steve and I was just talking about this in a coffee shop this morning. I said, I'm preaching on that today. Whether you're a sinner or not, God died for you. But let me tell you, y'all sinners in need of God's amazing grace. Whether a sinner or not, he said, I don't know. But there's one thing I know. Ain't none of y'all getting excited about that. Let me start over. Whether a sinner or not, Brian, I don't know. But the one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Yeah. Woo! that's good. Yes, people want to beat up your faith, and you take them back in the beginning God created. They want to spar with you, say, I ain't that intellectual, ain't that smart. You so smart. But I know I was blind, but now I see. I see you still blind, sucker. I guess you ain't as smart as me, amen? Because what you need is he. Whew, that's good. But then we talk about this remittance of sin. And we talk about this remittance, and if you'll follow along with me here, as we're looking at Acts chapter 2, and we're talking about here, the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost, amen? Yeah. Woo, we want that up in this church. We want God wreck us. Yeah. Burn it off. Tear it up. Show it up, Lord. We know that, right? But he's telling all Israel here, and let me just read it to you. Well, actually, you don't have this, but verses 36 and 37, before I share verse 38, God has made this Jesus whom you know you crucified. That's what he's telling them, right? You know you crucified him. He's calling it out. Both Lord and Christ. Let me tell you, let me just pause. When we don't accept Jesus Christ, we ain't no different. When we ain't showing people Jesus, we ain't no different. When we haven't accepted the free gift of salvation, we ain't no different. So what do? Shut up. That's what we do. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Let your bodies, not your mouth, show them Jesus Christ. Amen. Let your actions come to life. Let me keep going here. Something else here says the people heard this, and they begin to ask Peter, think about this. What shall we do then? What shall we do? We crucified Christ. What shall we do? And Peter answers them and says, repent. Repent. Anybody that's going to get in this water today, I want to ask him a question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Lord? Is he your Lord? I'm going to say, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes. Woo! Everything just changed. Let me keep going. It says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not about how smart you are, how dirty of a sinner you are, about how intellectual you are. What it's about is, will I really believe in the beginning God created for me? God created for me no matter what the enemy's done to me, how he's destroyed my family and my finances. In the beginning, God created for me. And no matter how messed up I have been, God has begun to redeem and he's going to receive me when I begin to say, God, I believe in you. Yeah, that's what happens. Well, that's unbelievable. I got this note here on the scripture. These are out of my Bible, so I don't know if your Bible looks like that, but I got these notes, amen? Yes, I need that. Oh, God, I don't need all those, do I? But I'm going to read you my notes out of my Bible, which has spoke to me over the years. If you want to follow, and that's about this scripture in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, if you want to follow Christ. Got quiet. If you want to follow Christ, if you want, it's a decision, amen? It's a decision. It's up to us if we really want to follow Christ. If we really want to follow Christ, he'll take care of your brokenness. If you want to follow Christ, he'll take care of your addicted behavior. If you want to follow Christ, he'll answer all the questions for you that you need answered. If you want to follow Christ, and I put this down here, it says that I must, no questions, but I must repent, and I must be baptized. I begin to think about this, to repent. When I thought about what repentance is and what it is not, to repent means to turn from 180 degrees from sin, changing the direction of my life. From the selfishness and the rebellion against God. At the same time, you must turn to Christ, depending on him, for forgiveness, mercy, guidance, and purpose. We cannot save ourselves only. Only God saves. You hear me? Then this baptism piece. What is baptism really anyway? He said you ought to do as I've done. And John the Baptist prepared the way, and he baptized Jesus. Amen. Do as I've done. Listen, we talked about it earlier. It's an outward expression of your inward faith. You're saying, I am a follower of Jesus. It's an identification that we're stamping on our forehead to all the believers that said before you. It's our job today to hold them accountable to say, we'll love you into submission to the Lord, no matter how hard and how ugly it gets. But a baptism identifies us with Christ. It identifies us with Christ and with the community of believers. It is a condition of discipleship, and most of all, it's a sign of your faith. No matter how big or how small your faith is, God is bigger than that. Amen? Because he is your faith. Well, I want to take you to Acts chapter 22, verse 16. As we look at Acts chapter 22, verse 16, God's telling his disciples here, he said, hey, ain't you excited now? You're going to be my witness. Let me show you Jesus. I told you over the last couple of weeks some sorry examples I've seen. All right, I've seen people sitting in places doing things they ought not to be doing and talking about being missionaries in the vineyard. And I said, man, if I was lost, I wouldn't want nothing like that. Look at how they talk and act and being a fool over there. Really, seriously. Let me show you Jesus. But he's telling them to be a witness for me now. And now, why are you waiting is the question. If you're my witness, what are you waiting for? Everybody, let's just drop in your spirit. Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting for salvation? Why are you waiting for redemption? Why are you still waiting on the resurrection? Because he's already rose. You can't wait on nothing else because it's already been done. He says, I'm giving you a free gift, and it's called salvation. But what you need to do is you need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to receive that free gift. And then he says this, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism is simply that outward expression of that inward faith. The call here is for you to receive the faith in Christ. That's one, listen to this, that's one's repented. Once we've repented and we've received Christ as Lord and Savior, it says that in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, for the remission of sins, it means in order to cause the sins to be removed. It's in order for the chaos to start being revealed. It's in order for the disarray in your life to begin to get exposed. And what I begin to find out, oh, Lord, I was a mess. And the whole time he says, we sure was. But you thought you had it all figured out, and you thought you had, but I didn't. God's record, listen, of us as sinners is wiped out when we receive Jesus Christ, and the penalty of sin, that eternal spiritual death, is removed. That's why it's so important that we receive Christ. Remission applies to all sins from which we repent, regardless of when they're committed. So as you receive Christ, it comes back to this, is you don't have a license to sin. But when you do sin as a believer, you ask God to forgive you, repent of it, and turn away from it, and he is surely to do it. Yeah. Amen. Listen, that remission applies to all of them. Next, I want to talk about our identification before we baptize this morning. Identification with death, burial, and resurrection in Jesus is called out in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 14. And I just want to share this with you before we baptize this morning. It starts off in verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized, oh, get all my sticky notes out of the way. I didn't think I looked right. Start over there. It says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Okay, now the verses previous to that, verses 1 and 2 in Romans 6 says, the availability of God's mercy must not become an excuse for careless living and moral laziness. Now I want to say that again, because I didn't read verses 1 and 2, but I want you to read them later. Kids, you listen to this. This is important to you as young people, because if not, you'll grow up broken adults. It says this in the first two verses as we launch this, the availability of God's mercy on your lives, okay, this is for us, must not become an excuse for careless living and moral laziness. God's called us to a higher standard. Then that's verse 3, and then verse 4 says, therefore we were buried with him, and through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of our Father, even so we all should walk in the newness, it says, of life. Wow. This is symbolic of our death and rebirth through baptism. And then verse 5 says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Wow. We need to enjoy our new life. We are united with him in death and resurrection. No matter what your friends or anybody else says, verse 6, knowing this, now that we have knowledge of this, it says that our old man was crucified with him. Woo! Quit bringing him back up out of the grave. You see a finger poking up, cut it off. You hear me? You don't go back and act the same way you used to act or talk about the things you used to talk about or visit the places you used to visit. God has delivered you. He has set you free from the past. And to whom he has set free is free indeed. Yes. Well, let's keep going in verse 6 here. And we look at verse 6 and it begins to really just scream at us. And knowing that this old man was crucified with them, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That's a new beginning, isn't it? We are not the evil sin, if you will. Listen, sin in us is what's evil. Sin in us is what's evil. Once we receive Christ, the reason he convicts us, the reason he changes us, is he wants us to be brand new. Verse number 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. This is why we receive Christ, right? And then it says in verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. He dies no more. It says death no longer has dominion over him, and death no longer has dominion over you. Amen? Amen. Verse number 10, for the death that he died on, to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, talking to us, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God, Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey in it its lust. And do not present your members or your body as instruments of unrighteousness and sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Then concludes with this, for sin shall not have dominion over you any longer. For you are not under law, but you're under the grace of an amazing God. Give him a hand clap this morning. As we get ready and prepared to start bringing all those up who's going to be baptized, hopefully you're ready, and we'll line you up to the left. Line you up to the left here in just a second. But just as Jesus was buried and rose again, so we experience that death in baptism as we rise again. We come back alive. We come into the church as sinners. We die to sin through repentance, and we are buried to our sin through the immersion of baptism and repentance. We are then resurrected to a new life that is in Jesus. And when we rise from the water today, you'll see demonstrated for you the death of the old and the birth of the new. As Paul says, we aren't subject to our old sin before baptism because we are dead to our old selves. We are dead to what we used to be. No longer can you say, well, I used to be, or I'm a cut it off. It's gone, dead. So when someone comes and say, you know what you used to be? You say, whoo, covered by the blood of Jesus. Because that's the truth. The baptism formula, this water will change everything today for the people that chooses to get in it. When we come into the full knowledge of the truth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, when we have received the free gift of salvation, when we have repented, when we are born again, baptism in the name of Jesus is explained in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. If you look at what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, only Jesus has the power to save. Everybody hear me? Only Jesus has the power to save. His name is the only one in the world that can save anyone. And if you look at the other, I think it's New King James, I got it pinned in here. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. No other name. He's the only way, he's the only truth, and he's the only life. So my question for us this morning, my question on the board. There we go. What is the proper mode of baptism? We've talked about it. We've talked about the remission of sins. We've talked about repenting. We've talked about turning around. Baptism, by its inherent definition, must be an act of immersion in water. When you get immersed in the water, it changes everything. So people say, well, what's that really mean? Well, I remember when I finally got saved as an adult. I began to study and do some understudy, and as I began to grow in Christ, after a couple of years, God said, I want you to be baptized again. I said, God, I've already been baptized. He was dealing with my pride, my ego, my whatever. But I shared this. The water changed everything because on that day that I went to the river and I was dunked under that water, I just went to the water. My deal with God is, God, I'm going to learn everything I can about you, but I will not teach or preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because I've been a leader my whole life. God, I just kind of want to sit in the back row. But I came up that day preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I've never stopped. So the decision today, when you get baptized, you're killing that old person. We got people here that's going to hold you accountable, and we're going to love on you. And when you come up, you're going to be brand new. You think you're going to be surprised, wait till you see what God does to you. Listen, baptism has an illustration. And baptism illustrates a believer's identification with Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Now, I want to take you back to that Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 again. And in closing, as I bring them up here this morning, do you know that all who share in Christ Jesus by being baptized also share in his death? When we were baptized, we died. And we were buried with Christ. And we were baptized so that we would live a new life as Christ was raised to life by the glory of God the Father. The action of being immersed in the water, it pictures dying and being buried with Christ. And you'll see that here before you this morning. The action of coming up out of the water, it illustrates Christ's resurrection and what will really happen to us. Baptism by immersion is not a prerequisite for salvation. A prerequisite for salvation is believing who he is and accepting him personally. It's rather an act of obedience, a public proclamation of faith in Christ, and identification with who he is in you. Baptism is a picture of our leaving our old life and becoming a brand new creature. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Last verse I want to share with you. It talks about the ministry of reconciliation. And today you've seen some people be reconciled to the Savior, Jesus Christ. You think about what Paul pens here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. And I think it's just fitting as we look at this. Anyone who belongs to Christ, you're a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new. Amen. Christians, we're talking about being a Christ follower now, brand new people on the inside. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit gives them the new life, and they are not the same anymore. You are not the same once you accept Jesus Christ. We are not, listen to this, this is a lot of hang-ups for us as Christians. We are not, listen to me, reformed. We are not rehabilitated. We are not re-educated. We are recreated. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Living in union with Christ, and we are beginning a brand new life. So when you look at this, baptism by immersion is the only mode that fully illustrates the radical change that you will have and transpire in your life today.